Welcome to the Miami Tech Update, June 19th, 2018. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube and on iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a ranking and a rating. That will help us out tremendously so people can find us easier. And today for the Miami Tech Update, we got Jaime Brito from Iron Hack. And he is one of the head guys at Iron Hack. And Daniel, welcome to the Miami Tech Update.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here.
So, are you watching the World Cup these days, or?
Dude, I am not really. I actually I don't like sports at all. Even though, like, I collect sneakers, which is like the weirdest thing.
Oh, you're a sneakerhead.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sorry, Santiago, you kind of broke up there.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's great that you're a sneakerhead. I don't meet too many. I mean, I know a few people, but you're probably one of the few in Miami that I know that collect sneakers.
Yeah. I really like it. That's one of my passions, but I'm not into the whole like sports thing. Like I never was. I'm a big nerd. So I just not very, very athletic.
Well, it happens. I'm a very sports guy. If you follow my Twitter feed, a lot of sports posts. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement with Iron Hack?
Sure. So, not going to go too far down the rabbit hole, but I will tell you this. I'm originally from Miami, born and raised. Cuban parents, you know, Spanish is my first language, so I do speak Spanish, of course. I've been working for Iron Hack for a little over 2 years. So I am their, their outcomes manager, which I'll explain, what I do in a second. But I come from a background in, IT infrastructure. So I used to work for big companies like Norwegian Cruise Line and Vitas, which is the largest hospice care company in the U.S., doing all sorts of different, IT infrastructure roles, not software engineering, because those two things are totally different. Then a friend of mine got me into recruiting, so I was an IT recruiter for Ascendo Resources, which is apparently a big firm here, and they've, have locations all over the East Coast. And then I didn't want to do that anymore just because I kind of got tired of selling bad jobs to good people, if that makes any sense, right?
Yeah, so, I understand. I've been there.
yeah. And then as I developed, relationships with, the people that I was helping place, right, which was, software engineers and, aside from IT infrastructure folks and, business intelligence, relationships turn into friendships. And I was like, what do you guys do all day long? And they're like, oh, well, this is what I do and stuff. So I kind of got intrigued by, learning how to code myself. So I went through a coding boot camp. I quit my job, took that leap of faith, at the time I was in the middle of getting married, and that was kind of scary, but you know what? No guts, no glory. I mean, I basically I bet on myself, and I went through, the boot camp. It was 9 weeks, and I was actually hired a day before my class graduated. So I was the only person from my class that was hired. I was working as a software engineer for a company called Point Slope, which, the band has kind of broken up, but it's still kind of around. So all the developers that I used to work with, one of them is one of my best friends. They've all gone to work for other companies. So, one thing led to another. I was in a local, a Slack channel, and, I met somebody that worked for Iron Hack, and I was like, hey, my time at Point Slope is kind of ending. Are you looking for developers? She's like, no, but, send me your resume anyways. And when I sent it to her, immediately she wrote back to me. She's like, hey, we've been looking for somebody like you for 4 months. I'm like, what? So it's like, hey, would you be open to a non-technical role? And the rest is history. So what do I do here? I am the guy who creates the relationships with the companies to help our students find jobs, land jobs as either software engineers or UX, UI designers. But it's not only, I'm not just the relationship guy. I'm the one who actually trains them on all of their soft skills from the beginning, from how to redo your LinkedIn profile, how to redo your resume, what to do on interviews. I am basically like their career coach. I am their advisor, their, partner, their, their shoulder to cry on, like all that stuff, right? Because it's a very emotional experience. I mean, it's scary going through a boot camp, you know? So kind of like a byproduct of what I do is I'm a very well-connected guy in the tech ecosystem here in South Florida. And it's all about, I mean, sure, it's what you know, but it's also who you know. It's really small. So, like I tell everybody, I'm like, be nice. Make friends and you'll go places. So yeah, that's my answer in a very large nutshell.
You know, it's funny you say connected. You are very well connected. I see your Facebook and you know almost everyone. Like when you first found me, you had a good, even though I never met you in person, but the Facebook message was like really personal. And So they hired the right person, that's for sure.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I mean, I love working here. It's amazing working for Ironhack.
So, okay, this is my history with Ironhack. I actually met, I'm not sure, like, if he was the founder of Ironhack or he was, like, one of, like, the top guys, but I met this guy, like, 4 or 5 years ago in the bathroom at Refresh Miami event. And he was like, yeah, I mean, I'm from, like, I just came back from Spain. I'm starting this school called Ironhack. And then, 5 years later, Ironhack is up there with the Code Academies here in Miami.
Yeah, so it's actually not just here in Miami, it's in the world. We're like the number two most ranked and most reviewed like boot camp in the world. If you go to a website, there's a website called CourseReport.com, which is like, that is like the official Yelp of like boot camps, like all over the world. We are ranked number two. Okay. So, the only reason why we're not number one is because like the other company, has like a whole bunch more locations than us. but the guy that you probably met, in the bathroom here building is a guy, named Ariel Quinones.
Yes.
So he's one of the co-founders. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had a ponytail back then. I'm not sure if he still does.
Oh, no, he definitely does not have a ponytail. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. Because
okay. No, I'm sorry.
He doesn't have a ponytail. No, it's okay. So, yeah, so Ariel, he's the co-founder of Ironhack. The other co-founder is Gonzalo Manrique, which he's based out of Spain. So Ariel is originally, like, he's Puerto Rican, and Gonzalo is Spanish from Spain. So, I work next to Ariel all day long. It's just him and I in one room because, like, all the rest of my team, they work, like, on the second floor, but him and I are in up here. So, I mean, I get to spend, like, a lot of time with him. Really smart guy. He's a super chill guy, really is a leader. He's a big sneakerhead like me, so we talk about sneakers all day long, but he's a pretty smart guy. I mean, he's a Harvard grad, MBA from Wharton, like Ivy League school, So, I mean, it's great, like, working with him. And we've, I'll tell you more about how much we've grown in the past, like, 2 years. But, yeah, like, that's Ariel. I mean, he's a super chill guy. He's actually, like, right now in Europe. So he's been taking more, like, global sort of responsibilities because now we have our, like our GM is Aaliyah. Aaliyah, she is the one that oversees all the day of the operations here. She's kind of our fearless leader. And, but, Ariel and Gonzalo, they're, they're working on like global stuff. I'll talk about more, but if you ask me, right? Like,
That was my next question.
Big time. Yeah.
What is the history of Ironhack? How did they start? Did they start in a garage, at a coffee shop? How did it all happen?
Yeah. So basically what happened was that both Gonzalo and Ariel, they were both grad students like at Wharton doing like their MBA. And one thing that they noticed was is that like in Europe at the time, which was about, I'd say like 6 years ago, okay, because Ironhack's been around for about five. So about, 6, 7 years ago, they noticed that there was a humongous youth unemployment problem in Spain, right? So 60% of all people under 30 were unemployed, which is crazy, okay? So So obviously, like in Europe, like it works differently than here in the U.S. But it's like, hey, you have all of these tech jobs, and not tech like, hi, thank you for calling to help us. Is your email working? Is it? No, I'm talking about like software engineering roles, right? That were going like unskilled, right? So they decided to create a school that we teach these skills and get people out, you know, into the workforce, right? So if you think about it, like, and this is something that I kind of wrote notes for our little like conversation, because like I prepared for this, obviously. So people say it's like, oh, you need a college degree and you need this or whatever, right? Like, I have an associate's from a community college, and I've worked for some pretty, you know, like amazing companies. I have, you know, I've had a great work history. I mean, I feel that I have a humongous like impact in the South Florida tech ecosystem. I'm the guy that got an associate from Miami-Dade, and I work right next to like a Harvard graduate, right? So skills, you know, like they matter, but you know, what really matters is the hustle, the passion, and the drive, because like skills can be learned. Passion and drive, that can't be learned, right? So like I know plenty of people that have, you know, I mean, like I'm involved in the admissions process of IronHack, right? So if you know, like I see people that it's like, hey, I have a bachelor's degree in so and so. For example, if it's like from like UM, I mean, I know UM is like really expensive, right? Well, I have a bachelor's from UM in this, whatever. But I'm driving Uber. I'm like, what? Right? So to me, that's like really shocking. It's about like, doesn't matter if you have a degree or not. It's a matter of, is this person a doer? Are they like proactive? Are they going to get stuff done, right? So that's, I kind of forgot where I was going with that.
No, it's beautiful. I love it. Keep going. Just keep talking.
Thanks, man. The whole philosophy behind behind IronHack, I mean, it goes back to like our values, right? Number one is love people and their stories. We've had some pretty amazing stories that come through here, right? You have folks that, you know, they just have this passion for, hey, I really want to learn how to become, you know, make a career out of becoming a software engineer or UX designer or something, right? Like, this is not for everybody, right? So, you know, it's not like, hey, you know, anybody can, you know, learn this stuff on their own and stuff, right? Why do we exist? We're here to, you know, properly train folks and just like accelerate the entire process of learning these skills that are extremely marketable in the workforce if they're interested, right? It's not like, you know, you come through IronHack as a student and it's like a magic pill that everything's going to be, you know, puppy dogs and like rainbows afterward. No, it is hard. You will struggle. But then again, like my wife always like, she laughs at me because she's like, man, my husband's like a, you know, motivational one-liner, like quote machine, right? But it's like, without struggle, there's no progress, like no pain, no gain. The only way that you're going to acquire a skill is by struggle, by banging your head up against the wall and figuring it out. Like, that's what I tell the students all the time. Like, the only difference between somebody who is like a senior, like anything, doesn't matter if you're an engineer or you're a carpenter or whatever it is, right? The only difference between that senior person and you is that they have more experience. That's it, right? It's like time served. That's it, right? So it's not that hard. Like, folks that are super senior in anything, they weren't born that way, you know? Like, they didn't just like, you know, they weren't born with these, you know, magical abilities, right? It's just, you know, they acquired it over time. So yeah, I mean, I hope that kind of like shed some light on, oh, well, but also, by the way, like so the type of person that would come through IronHack, right? The ideal person, right, is somebody that, like, the number one thing that we look for is folks who are passionate about this stuff. If you don't like it, don't do it. Like, this is something that, even I'm involved in the admissions process. So let me just kind of like go briefly over what that admissions process looks like, right?
Yeah.
If you're interested in, you know, going through Iron Hack, right, and you want to, whether you want to be a career changer, right, you want to change your career completely, which that's the majority of the folks that come through Iron Hack. Or number two, you're a career booster. Hey, you want to, your employer like wants to pay for this, you know, for this training for you, or you're like a graphic designer or something, but you want to learn UX, because they kind of go, you know, like they kind of go hand in hand or something, or you're an entrepreneur, somebody who wants to learn these skills so that, you know, software developers, you know, don't take advantage of you and like overcharge you. So, which has been the case in the past, but like the majority of the folks here are career changers, right? So they go through the admissions process. Number one, they would speak to like our admissions manager, right? It's like, hey, you know, give you the tour of the campus, which we're located out of building.co, which is one block away from the Brickell City Center. It's a really nice like co-working space. It's Miami's only all tech co-working space. So all the companies that are here are tech startups, us being like the largest tenants, right? So you will go through the admissions manager, kind of get to know you type stuff. Why do you want to do this? What are your motivations? What are you looking to do, right? Second, you would take a technical test, right? And this is something that so many people like are afraid of, but you shouldn't be afraid of it at all, right? So it's like we will give you some homework, right? It's like, okay, you're going to have a test, okay? You know, these are the materials that you would need to study for it, right? So, you know, so study for it. And then we'll give you kind of like a mock sort of lesson, like one-on-one with one of our instructors or our TAs. And then based on how you do on that test, they'll be like, okay, then they'll get like to the next stage, right? And if you're looking for a job, right, and you have any concerns about, you know, the market or what's the starting salary for a junior developer or junior UX designer in South Florida, or how fast do our students get hired, or what sort of support you're going to have from us and all that stuff, they usually schedule a career assessment with me. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I have to ensure that the folks that come through Iron Hack are the right sort of fit, right? If I have somebody who just wants to like, hey, you know, I'm looking for a 100K job a week after I graduate, and I'm not going to take any less than that, okay, then your expectations are unrealistic, right? So we have actually I wouldn't go so far as to say like turned away folks, but we're honest with them. Look, if this is not the right sort of fit for you, right, it's not the right sort of fit, but let me tell you why and provide you with other resources that are, you know, like an alternative, right? We would be doing our customers, the students, right, a disservice if we accept them into the program knowing that they're going to have an unrealistically hard time, right? They're just like, they're not the right fit just to make more revenue. We do things the right way, right? So, because at the end of the day, if we accept a student and they're looking for a job, right, knowing that they're going to have a hard time already, right, looking for a job because of their work history, their attitude, their passion, they're not a self like motivated person. Like, we already know what the Iron Hack, you know, the typical Iron Hack grad, like the qualities, you know, that they have, right, that they need to go, because this is really hard, right?
Yeah.
We will, you know, be honest with that person, be like, hey, look, this is not the right sort of fit for you, and let me tell you why, because we are like an ethical company. I mean, seriously, this is the most non-evil company I have ever worked for in my life, and let me tell you, I've worked for a pretty evil company.
I know, it's tough out there. Yeah, it's a tough world.
Yeah.
So, you know, with these academies and these boot camps, I've seen it, like, they become very ideal because, you know, some people back in, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you had to go to a 4-year degree. You know, you had to spend 4 years. That's a long time and a lot of money.
Yeah.
What is the advantage with this? How long is your program and how much you think a student, I mean, how much will a student spend?
Yeah. So we have two different types of programs. We have a full-time program and a part-time program. So, and for both of those programs, we have one that is web development and one that is UX UI. So the web development one, we teach full stack like JavaScript using mean stack. So MongoDB, Express, Angular 2, and Node.js. Okay, and then for the UX course, we teach, I mean, everything from visual design, information architecture, UX strategy, like all of these things, right? And with the tools, with Sketch, Envision, Flinto, and a few others, right? But we're always constantly, like, updating the curriculum, making it better, not just having the same old curriculum, because the reality is that, like, the marketplace, hey, maybe this technology is not being used anymore and there's a new one, right? So we always kind of take surveys and feedback of our, like, our hiring partners and the market, right? And be like, hey, what technology stack are you are looking for? What framework are you looking for? Stuff like that. So we already have some changes coming up, which I can't really talk about.
Oh.
That's not public knowledge yet, but believe me, like, you'll be the first to know.
Oh, thank you.
But so what does it cost, right? People, when I tell them how much it costs, they're like, oh my God, that is crazy, right? But so for the full-time program, which lasts 9 weeks, which is both, you know, both for the web development and for the UX bootcamp, it's $11,000. And for the part-time, which is 6 months long, which is it's two nights a week and the full day on Saturday for 6 months, that one is like $12,000 for folks who don't want to quit their 9-to-5 and still work during the day, right? You may be saying to yourself, wow, it's a lot of money, right? but let me tell you, right? I've seen students go from, because I asked them, right? Like, how much were you making before, right? Or, you know, what were you doing? How much were you making before? What are you looking to make? You know, all that stuff. This is at some point, you know, like during the boot camp when I'm like, helping them with their resumes and stuff, right? And some folks, they're like, well, I wasn't making anything because I was a college student, or I was making, like 18 grand or 25 grand or 30 grand or 35 or whatever, right? So normally, like, as of last year, because last year we have all the complete, you know, like, statistics of last year. So the placement rate for Iron Hack grads last year, okay, Iron Hack Miami, which I'll talk about the other campuses later, but Iron Hack Miami for 2017 was within 3 months of graduating, 84% of the actively seeking students were hired as either a web developer or a UX designer, not a plumber or an electrician or something, you know, like out of the scope of what they came here to learn, right?
Right.
And also the average starting salary was $55,800 in this market. And you know how Miami is, right? Miami is, like, known for its, like, low salaries and, you know, like, high cost of living. Don't get me started on that.
Dan, I'm with you, man. I grew up in Miami. It feels like I know you because I grew up in Hialeah and Miami Lakes. And also, you hear from New Yorkers when they come down here. So, yeah, like the whole cost of living's high, but they pay me less. It's weird,
right? So, see, the thing is, really quickly, like, in New York, you know, you have, like, much higher salaries, but then again, you have a much higher cost of living because New York is a state that has a state tax. Here in Florida, we have no state tax. So then the companies use the excuse of, well, we don't have a state tax, so then they pay you less, right?
Wow.
But it's also, like, much more than that. Think about it, man. Miami is the gateway to Latin America, right? Yeah. So you have all these people coming from all these different countries, from the Caribbean, from Central America, South America, whatever. If they are legal to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've never worked here in this country. They are willing to take less for their first job here to get their foot in the door. So that skews all the salaries. But at the same time, why is the cost of living so high? Because Miami is, like, a worldwide destination for, for foreigners, particularly investors buying up property as investments and rental properties, right?
Exactly.
So we're in this weird place where it's like, why is the cost of, you know, rent and mortgages and stuff so high? Yet at the same time, why do the salaries suck? I mean, like,
it's a huge paradox.
Think about it, like,
it's a paradox.
Yeah, it's like super weird. And then just people keep coming here. I'm like, stop coming here.
Yeah, and I'm trying to, you know, to buy property. And it's, yeah, I mean, I got to pull out some extra dollars to get it, you know?
Yeah. So that, you know, like, that's the program, like in a nutshell. Really, you know, the reason why Ariel and Gonzalo, you know, like, started this company, right, mm-hmm. It's not because they're particularly passionate about web development or UX UI design. Both of them, I mean, Ariel was like an investment banker on Wall Street, and Gonzalo was a civil engineer. None of them have coded one lick of code in their life, right? Wow. But what they are passionate about is about people and the ability to, you know, change your career in a very, like, in a very quick sort of fashion, right?
Right.
And it's about, you know, like, we here at IronHack, I mean, I just came back from, like I mentioned to you that, you know, like, I was in Spain about a week ago. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we were on, like, our global retreat, and every one of our campuses. So we have a campus in Madrid, Barcelona, Paris, Berlin, Mexico City, this one here in Miami. And we have two more, one that are opening up in Q4. We already have the staff for them. It's in they're in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and in Amsterdam, with four more opening up next year. So we're experiencing like explosive growth. But the folks that I met, the folks that I've been working with, because we all work, you know, like, you know, we have Google Hangouts, and we all, you know, like, collaborate and stuff like that, right? So they are as passionate as everybody who works here. It's like kind of like the IronHack DNA, right? It's like,
right.
You know, the values, right? Love people and their stories. Number two, passion above all other things, right? Mm-hmm. Number three, can-do attitude, right? Like, yeah. And we kind of came up with a fourth value. But, you know, like, the point is that we are all extremely passionate about what we do. I myself am particularly passionate because I come from non-traditional education, right? And I made it. And nobody helped me. I mean, when I say, like, nobody helped me, every successful person needs help along the way, right? But right. In terms of, like, you know, I didn't have any handouts. It was just about working hard, but at the same time working smart, right? Some people, they just, you know, they just don't know. Like, they're ignorant. And not, you know, I don't say that, you know, like, in a bad way. They just don't know what's out there, right? So, I mean, that's what I tell folks, like, hey, there's this alternative, right? Like, we're disrupting the traditional, like, educational model, which is what I love, because I personally think that American universities get away with highway robbery. When you have a recent college graduate that just graduated with a bachelor's in whatever, right? And they're already in debt $100,000, $150,000. They haven't even gotten their first job. I think that's crazy.
I agree. You know? I totally agree. And like, the whole thing with, you know, with you guys making the whole price lower, $11,000. I'd rather take the $11,000 than being $150,000 in debt.
Yeah, right. But at the same time, I will say that, you know, there's, you know, like, I'll say this as an aside, right? If you are passionate about learning to become a developer or doing UX design, right? Again, mm-hmm. This is not for everybody, right? If you truly, because, you know, like, at the end of the day, you have to do what you love.
Exactly.
And, you know, I know people that they're, well, I mean, I don't associate with, as, you know, like people that are like, yeah, I hate my job. So I'm like, okay, so why don't you quit? Oh, no, but I can't do that. I have to pay the bills. Okay, well, then you are living as a slave in your own little world, right? Like, you hate what you do, right? Like, so go out and change it, right? Like,
exactly.
There's no excuse, right? Like, with all of, like, the resources out there, with, I mean, unless you want to work for, like, a super corporate company, I mean, I'm always constantly building relationships with companies and stuff like that. I look at the quality of the company that our students would potentially work in, And the type of company that asks me, and mind you, like I used to be like a senior IT recruiter, so I had to dress in the whole suit and tie and clean shaven and stuff. Like, if you look at me now, man, I'm wearing like a pair of like Nikes, you know, some jeans, a t-shirt. I have like tattoos, a beard. Like, you look at me, you're like, okay, this guy's like not corporate at all, right? But I, you know, like I had to wear all that stuff. I had to, you know, have that image of success and all that stuff, right? Which in Miami, you know how it is. Like, everybody wears their entire, you know, bank account like on their person, even though they still live at their mom's house, right?
We're just describing Miami how it is, and it's true. It's just people show off too much.
People show off too much, right?
So, like, with this whole boot camp, you know, it's funny because I was, you know, like, very, you know, viewing like online education as being huge, but I like the classroom interaction. I love to see people. I love to, you know, do groups. You think this boot camp, the whole thing with like the whole boot camps, has become popular because people like are able to come in class and they're able to learn quicker. I mean, have you noticed that like there's been a huge demand for that?
Yeah, there is. I mean, you know, there's something, you know, learning online, quote unquote, you know, like you always see these commercials for like, hey, get your MBA online and stuff like that, right? You have to learn how to interact with people, right? Even though, you know, like, I mean, it's two totally different animals, you know, like the web developers, they do have to collaborate, but they could be more, you know, they could keep to themselves and keep doing their own work, and they don't have to really socialize that much with their colleagues, right? But for example, the UX designers, that's what they're all about. They are designing for empathy, and that's for people. They're designing, you know, apps for people, right? So, but the entire, you know, like the whole like classroom environment, you know, it's great because they all feel like a family by the time that they're, if you're in there struggling for 10 to 12 hours a day, with the same people, right? You know, like a bond forms, you know, between them rather quickly, right? I mean, these are the people that they are, I mean, essentially at the end of the day, they're all, you know, like competition for each other. But in the classroom, they're like one big happy family. Like, they're the ones that are, you know, doing things together, learning together, and particularly like struggling together, but struggling in a healthy way. Not just because, man, I hate this. I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's something that we explained in you know, at the beginning. I'm like, hey, look, this is hard. This is not easy, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's a great environment. You know, we also have, you know, like we go to happy hours together. We have, you know, we play, you know, cornhole on the rooftop here at building. We have all these sorts of, you know, like activities with them. And it's about, you know, really giving the students the best experience possible. But it's not just the experience that they receive in the classroom. It's equally as important the experience and the support that they get once they graduate. So they have constant communication with me. I'm like their, that show, Who Wants to Be Like a Millionaire? Yeah. You know how they do like phone a friend? I am their phone a friend. Because if they ever have some sort of, hey, I have an interview coming up, or, you know, hey, I have this thing coming up, or, hey, Brito, you know, like, what should I do? I have these, you know, two offers, which one should I take? Or, you know, what would be a better way to do, like, you know, get in contact with these hiring managers? Like, well, how should I do it? What should I say? Blah, blah, blah. They have me, right? So yeah. I am their continued support afterward. But, you know, once you're a part of the Iron Hack family, you will always be. Like, we have there's even students that have been working as developers and UX designers out there in the real world. And, you know, I'm their friend. So it's like, I mean, we all are. So if they need any help even afterward, you know, hey, Brito, who do you know that's looking for somebody like me? Or do you have any connections at this company or that company? I'm like, yeah, I think this is useful to these people, you know? Like, hey, you know, I could do referrals, right? So we still help all of our students, even though they've been graduated for like, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, you know? Like, it's like one big happy family. Again, going back to the number one value, love people, you know, and their stories.
That's awesome. Do you guys have any plans to expand in the States, or is it just going to be Miami for now?
For now, it's to my knowledge, right? To my knowledge, for now, it like domestically, we're gonna stay in Miami. So, but in the future, I mean, who knows? Like, you know, right now, not that long ago, we opened up in Mexico City, which is like in Central America, right? Mm-hmm. Probably gonna open up one in South America, right? So we choose like locations based on. Is there a pretty decent like tech ecosystem there, right? Like, for example, now we're opening up one in Brazil, in Sao Paulo, right, which is the first one in South America, right? And so who knows, maybe like Japan or something. I have no idea, right? But we choose these cities. I don't know how the founders do it, right? But it's like a lot of different factors. It's like, is the tech, I mean, obviously we're not going to open a location in, some city that has zero tech ecosystem, right? Like, yeah. There has to be, you know, companies that are hiring people like our students, right? So we could kind of grow the tech ecosystem, you know, like of each of those places, because that's what we've done here. I have a ton of companies that love our students, companies that they hire our students. And, you know, like some of the more like notable ones are Visa, Royal Caribbean, CareCloud. CareCloud's hired a ton of our students. You have like one of our students recently that like she graduated like not that long ago. She's PwC's new like UX designer, like PricewaterhouseCooper, like Big Four, right? So we have companies that are like gargantuan hiring our students, but we also have ones that are like really small that nobody outside of the tech ecosystem like has even heard of, right? So I mean, they love them, you know. They're just great.
How can people know about IronHack, and how can they apply? And obviously you did mention the criteria before, but how can they apply for IronHack, and how could they get things started?
Sure. So have them just make sure that you choose like Miami, okay? And they could apply to either the full-time web dev, the full-time UX, the part-time web dev, or the part-time UX. Our admissions manager will reach out to them to schedule just like kind of like a meet and greet and a campus tour and stuff like that. And that's how the process gets started, right? We have a meetup group. Okay. So if you just Google, you know, meetup IronHack Miami, you'll be able to find it. We always have three events going on. For example, today we have like an open house here at IronHack, and tomorrow we have a intro to web development, with React.js, which is actually being taught by one of our own like alumni that works as a developer in the real world. And these events are free, right? It's like, hey, you know, so it's not just about, hey, give me money, right? No, it's about, look, we are, you know, like a resource to all in terms of like, hey, if you want to be a student, great. But if you don't want to be a student, we can help you out with connections. We can introduce you to people. We can give you more information on resources. So it's about creating relationships and helping out people. It's not just about give me money.
No. You got to work for it. Yeah, you got to work for it. You got to hustle. Yeah. Like Gary Vee says, it's not about the money. It's about the passion. And then, you know, like money will follow the passion eventually, but that's a whole different argument. Ready for some random questions?
Sure. Go ahead. Shoot.
What animal best represents your personality?
What animal best represents my personality? That's a good question. I'm thinking like a fox, right? Because I could be very clever and slip in and out of sticky situations. And that's how I kind of have a bit of like a silver tongue. So as you probably noticed. it'd be a fox.
Do you drink Cuban coffee?
Oof, by the gallon. So I drink Cuban coffee by the gallon actually here at building at this is cool. Kind of like a perk of working here inside a building. They make Cuban coffee at exactly at 2:45 to be distributed at 3:05 every day. You get it? Like 3:05, like the zip code. So yeah. everybody gets their own little, you know, like a cafecito, but they make one that's like a colada for me. Ooh, only.
Yeah, I've had those.
And that's what I drink.
Now, do you dip your Cuban bread with Cuban coffee?
No, I don't. No.
Some
people do that. I just, you know, like I don't eat sweet plantains and I don't eat yuca. I'm like, oh my god, this guy's Cuban. How dare he? But I just don't like it.
Me too. I don't like plantains. I like the fried yuca, but not the boiled yuca.
Exactly. Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
What job you would not be good at?
One job that I would not be good at.
What job?
A job that I would not be good at. Probably a PE coach.
That's a good answer.
And a PE coach, no.
The only teachers that can wear shorts.
Yeah, and like the ones that are like the bike ones, like the bike brand that are like all the way.
Oh no, man, forget it. That's a whole different. That's a whole different level.
Yeah.
And yeah. Can you survive in the woods for 1 month?
Probably not.
Yeah, man. I mean, I could try, but I'd probably be annoyed by like week 2.
I love air conditioning. I love air conditioning too much. Actually, on the retreat that I went on in Spain, we stayed at this hotel, which is at the edge of the ocean. It was like beautiful. But then when I went to my hotel room, I was like, you know, here, like in the U.S., you have just like a very simple layout for the air conditioning. You have plus to go up, minus to go down, and that's about it, right? In Europe, they have like 10 buttons, and you don't understand what any of them mean. So I found out that the hotel didn't have air conditioning, and I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
So I had to keep, like, the door open. Like the window open, and right. It's kind of like by a beach. So the mosquitoes will go in there and just have, like, a buffet on me every night. And when I got back, like, my wife was like, what happened to you? It was like, yeah, I got bit by mosquitoes. Like, we have to take you to, like, a CVS Minute Clinic immediately. So I had to go on, like, antibiotics. Like, it was really bad. So, yes, I would not survive. On top of that, I'm allergic to mosquito bites. I would not survive in the wild.
Wow. Definitely bring your bug spray if you have that issue.
Yeah, for sure.
And finally, how do you have your pancakes?
How do I like my pancakes?
Yeah, I mean, do you put, you know, whipped cream, you put a blueberry, or do you just put syrup, that's it?
Oh, yeah. So, maple syrup, butter, and blueberries. Yes, I'm not a fan of the strawberries, but but blueberries, yeah.
Daniel Brito, thanks for coming on. How can people reach you directly?
So people can reach me directly at my email address at Ironhack, which is simply Daniel, so Daniel, at ironhack.com, which I'm pretty sure they're going to have to change it to Brito at Ironhack, because the only person who calls me Daniel is, like, my mother and my wife. Everybody else, like, nobody calls me, like, by my first name, at least in the tech ecosystem, but. So you can reach me at ironhack.com.
You know, this whole Code Academy, Ironhack is definitely a big player in Miami Tech. Every time, actually, probably like a lot of the meetings that I go to, Ironhack, you know, sponsors it. You guys, Refresh Miami, mm-hmm. and some other people. But Ironhack has definitely made a big presence here. And there's a lot of people out there interested in coding. People call me. You know, how do I learn how to code? And I was like, well, you know, go to Ironhack or just check out like these other schools. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of options in Miami. If you're local, I really encourage them to, mm-hmm. you know, try to apply to a coding academy and just, you know, try doing it like in person. I think you learn better in person. I think online, some people could do it, but I think in person, you're able to develop a friendship and maybe develop a company in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, if you're looking to learn how to code, like, again, like I mentioned before, anybody can learn how to code, but it takes a certain type of person to make a career out of it. Yeah. Some people, you know, like, for example, myself, right? I was doing it for some time out in the real world, and as you could probably tell, I'm a really sociable person. So the one thing that, you know, I didn't like about being a software engineer is that I would go for extended periods of time not talking to anybody, and it drove me crazy, right? Yeah. So that's like, you know, folks who try, like, for example, like sweet plantains. I've tried it. I don't like it. Right. So, you know, I'm not going to eat it anymore. Right.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, like, at least me, you know, like, I still wanted to be a part of this, you know, work in the tech ecosystem and live the lifestyle, but at the same time, help people like Refresh Miami, you know, their founder, Brian Breslin. Brian and I have been friends since we were little kids. Like, we went to elementary school and middle school together. We have history.
Oh,
you know?
My Lord. So, hey, okay. Were you at the Refresh events when they first started?
No. Because I wasn't deep in, like, the tech ecosystem, you know, back then. I mean, that was a long time. I mean, you know, Brian's told the story 1,000 times where, yeah, it all started on the Starbucks and Lincoln Road, me and, like, you know, like 5 people yeah. and stuff. No. But yeah, like, again, it's about, you know,
relationships,
creating relationships, being nice, you know, really trying to grow the tech ecosystem here. Because again, like one more like nugget of knowledge, right? Like, you know, Miami, South Florida, we are not a city that is fueled by software, right? Mm. Like if you go out to like Austin or like the Silicon Valley or any one of those places, most of the companies that are, not most, but like a lot of the companies there are true software as a service companies where their product is software. Okay.
Yeah.
So here, what's our product? This is a city fueled by tourism, by luxury real estate, and by Medicare fraud and Ponzi schemes and stuff. Right. So the software, you know, you have companies like Chewy, which is essentially, you know, like an e-commerce company, or you have a company, you know, for example, like Royal Caribbean or Virgin Cruise Line, right? Their product is cruises and vacations and stuff, right? So versus a company like CareCloud, which, you know, I mean, they are great friends of IronHack. One of my best friends on this earth is like the engineering manager there. It was actually me who helped them get in there, right? But they are a company that is like engineering first, right?
Yeah.
You know, what's so important, you know, for anybody that is looking to, you know, for a new company to work for, whatever, make sure that the company culture is not as good, that it's great, right? Like, they have to take care of people first. That's why a company like Ultimate Software, everybody wants to work for Ultimate Software because they have the best culture ever. They take really good care of their employees, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the issue here in South Florida, that most of these companies, it's not software, right?
Yeah.
Not UX, you know, focused companies. So everybody's here is like, yeah, you know, I could find a developer to do that for like peanuts. I'm like, or they will since we're in such close proximity to, you know, like the rest of the Caribbean and South America and stuff like that, right? They're like, yeah, you know, I'm going to outsource all my developers. I'm like, okay, I mean, if that works for you, great. But if you tell them to, you know, do something for you and you get a totally different product, then that sucks just because you want to cut costs, right? Like, one thing that I advise, like, all the companies that hire from IronHack, and we don't make one single cent off of the salaries of our students or anything like that. We don't make any sort of placement fee or whatever, right? So any company that's listening out there that is looking to hire an IronHack grad, we don't charge any sort of placement fees. We don't, you know, there's no, you know, any sort of money, you know, that you have to pay us at all. It's totally free, right? But it's like, you know, I don't know, man. I can just talk about this stuff forever. So let me just.
I love IronHack. IronHack.com. Check it out. You know, IronHack might make Miami very techie. You know, look, uh-huh. If Hialeah is going to become Tech a community, then Iron Hank is doing his job. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
Daniel Brito, awesome, you got to come back on. We'll talk more later. Thanks for coming on to the Miami Tech Update.
No, man, thanks for having me. I'm honored. Thank you so much.